Now, straight from the headlines, we bring you the latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at the San Diego Performance Academy. My special guest today is Terry Angel Mason. Angel is a man of faith, a bishop. He is affiliated with the Imani Faith Church right here in San Diego. Some of you in East County may know him from his work with the San Diego Interfaith Gospel Choir that he has directed, which each year would raise money for food and clothing and toys for needy children at Christmas time. They used to rehearse right here in East County. Angel, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Miriam. I'm happy to be here and especially to come and share today.
The story that Angel is going to share with us is actually a very personal story that involves his own loved ones, his own family, but also has worldwide implications. Terry, tell us about your story, your fiancé that you're trying to bring to America.
Well, I was blessed to be selected as a national HIV/AIDS spokesperson for the United States, and that allows me to travel to universities and to churches, to HIV/AIDS organizations globally. And while on a trip to Uganda, I met my fiancé. Yeah. And fell in love, and we have been engaged for now 2.5 years.
There's children.
And we've adopted 2 children. One is 4, mm-hmm. and the other is 16.
And these were children whose parents had actually died of AIDS, I understand.
Yes, and but you would not know it if you saw the children, because they are so in love with their parents. Mm-hmm. They're so happy and just feel really loved. So, yeah. So their lives have been really changed for the better.
Well, it sounds like such a wonderful story, but there's one very big problem. Your fiancé and your children are in Uganda, and AJ, your fiancé, and you are gay.
Yes.
And listeners, if you're not aware, Uganda has just passed the world's most severe law regarding homosexuality. The initial draft of it was going to impose the death penalty for being gay in certain circumstances. And as passed, the law criminalizes being gay. You can be put in prison for the rest of your life with no possibility of parole. It's even worse. But Angel, how is this impacting your fiancé? I mean, he must be absolutely terrified, and you as well.
Terrified is an understatement. Not only is my fiancé terrified, but every same-gender loving person in Uganda, they're literally terrified. Many of them have been thrown out of their houses, lost their jobs, fired from their jobs. Many have been beat and it's recently burned right in the middle of the street. I know that's hard to imagine someone being burned in the middle of the street, but this is common. The very radio show.
Yeah, you have a photo of this, you said.
Yes,
parents actually burning a gay person in front of small children.
In front of small children as young as my 4-year-old kid.
This is frightening. I mean, my own ancestry on one side of the family is Jewish, and this makes me think of the Holocaust, where they were rounding up Jewish people and inciting so much hate that was fueled by the government policies. It's really alarming. And Uganda is not the only place this is happening. Tell us how widespread is this?
This is like a virus. It is now in Ghana, Nigeria, every part of Africa is spreading to, because the way African countries work is what one country does, the other country automatically does it. So it initially started in Uganda, but now Nigeria is just as notorious. Ghana and Zimbabwe, it's just spreading through Africa. Every country is just mirroring what Uganda is doing.
And then when they are in prison, I understand there's also torture and beatings.
Yes. You know, it's funny because they say, well, we've eliminated the kill the gays part. But what happens is when individuals are incarcerated, they're immediately killed. So what's the difference? It's the same thing.
What about your own family, your fiancé? Is he in hiding right now? Is he still in Uganda?
Literally, my fiancé is in Uganda. We're in the process of now trying to get him and the children out. Of course, that is a huge undertaking. They're somewhat shielded in the sense that my fiancé was never a gay activist that was publicly known, thank God, or he might not be alive right now.
Yeah, and some of the magazines and newspapers over there have actually published lists and photos of gay activists. One of them had the words "hang them" right next to it.
Yes, they three major Ugandan newspapers and magazines have not only published the names, but they have literally even photographed these gay activists. So their names and photos are in those magazines for everyone to see. And all of those activists are in hiding now.
Absolutely terrifying. Mm-hmm. Now, Angel is also the author of a book that was nominated for a Pulitzer Prize. The book is called Love Won't Let Me Be Silent. And so, obviously, you feel you have a real mission to speak out on this issue.
I have always been inclined to speak out on human rights issues. Never in my life would I ever believe that I would be discussing something this horrific. I mean, people being burned in the street, people being thrown in prison and killed. But you don't have to be a same gender loving person to be killed or beaten, because all someone has to do is say you're gay, which, by the way, has happened, mm-hmm. and you could be killed. It's that serious.
And the law also requires everyone, non-gay people included, to rat out people who are. This impacts priests, for example, or ministers who are ministering to gay people.
And caregivers of HIV patients.
Wow. Journalists, even. If we were doing this interview in Uganda, I could be arrested if I didn't tell the world who you were and how to find you.
If you were doing this interview in Uganda, you would be arrested, not just because you ratted me out, but the way the bill is written is that there can be no one, I'm serious, can do a radio show, can do a speaking engagement, can even write an article that has anything to do with LGBT rights.
Wow.
That's written into their law.
So it's terribly draconian and just so hard to believe this is happening in this day and age. Now, here's another shocker. There's been some media reports out there that have indicated that this didn't just happen all by itself. It wasn't someone in Uganda who woke up one day and said, let's take away rights from gay people and put them in jail. This actually came about mm-hmm. after meetings they had with evangelical leaders from the United States. Angel, what else can you tell us about that?
Well, I have to tell you that what happened was that in America, because there's such a movement for equal rights, not only between same gender loving couples, but evangelicals in America felt that they were losing the political battle in terms of equal rights for gay people. So they went to Uganda and they actually met with the Ugandan parliament. They actually met with pastors there in Uganda. And they said, in order to keep from becoming like America, you need to enact laws that will prevent anything like this from happening. And so, of course, the parliament listened. The pastors became, it just fueled the fire. And they supported the Ugandan parliament. And then the result was these laws.
Wow. And some of these evangelicals in the U.S. have since tried to distance themselves and saying they don't support the laws, or at least not all provisions of the law. But when you preach hate, isn't this what can happen?
Yes, there's a responsibility. These evangelicals, for our listening audience, these are prominent, renowned men in even in San Diego. Some of them came from the San Diego area. And so some of those evangelicals, one particular gentleman is now being sued by Ugandan activists for this law. And so and it looks like the Ugandan activists will win. So we definitely did influence them. And this came about because of American evangelists from this very city, some of them.
Now, one of these was a prominent pastor from Southern California who's very well known nationally as well. In fact, he delivered the invocation, I understand, at Barack Obama's first inauguration.
One of them was Rick Warren of the Saddleback Church.
This is really shocking, I'm sure, to a lot of people. Now, besides going to Uganda, I understand he sent emissaries there. Pastor Warren has been a strong supporter of Pastor Martin Sempa, who led a march through the streets of Uganda, calling on the government to arrest all homos, to use his words. And Sempa also published their names in newspapers, names of known homosexual activists, while he was lobbying for laws to imprison them, the Daily Beast, which was formerly known as Newsweek, reported. Pastor Warren has reportedly had SEMPA lead an abstinence-only AIDS program at the Saddleback Church, and his wife has called SEMPA a brother. Now, at the time the Death to Gays bill was being considered, some media asked Pastor Warren if he would denounce it, and at the time, he did not. MSNBC and some other media outlets have reported. After the bill was passed, however, he made several statements. One of his statements that he made in a media interview was, "It is not my political calling as a pastor in America to comment or interfere in the political process of other nations." And after this aired on national TV and MSNBC took him to task for this, I understand that he has since backpedaled somewhat from that statement. Angel, what can you tell us about that?
Oh, yes. He's basically said that MSNBC lied on him, that he said nothing, did nothing to inspire this. But as recently as this week, there was an article done where every single statement that Rick Warren stated was printed. And so everything that he claims he didn't do can easily be disputed. He also came out with a video that can be accessed on YouTube where he did make send a message to the pastors, especially Pastor Sempra there in Uganda, stating that he did not mean for this to go this far.
He denounced the death penalty component of the original bill as it was proposed.
Exactly. But I think because of that particular time, the Kill the Gays bill was just being so rejected worldwide, he wanted to get something out at that particular time, in all fairness to him, so that he could immediately halt the pastors in Uganda from being so extreme. But it did no good, as you can see.
And most recently on March 3rd, he published a statement in the Christian Post in which he finally has said he opposes the criminalization of homosexuality in Uganda and that the freedom to make moral choices is endowed by God. Now, we are beginning to see some backlash against this, certainly in the media. I'm going to read a couple of the media statements here. The New York Times wrote, "The United States and others need to make clear to the Ugandan government that such barbarism is intolerable and will make it an international pariah." The Washington Post called the bill ugly, ignorant, and barbaric, and said that the fact it was even being considered put Uganda beyond the pale of civilized nations. Amnesty International and the Human Rights Watch have condemned the bill, and they also called it a product of a campaign by evangelical churches and anti-gay groups. So what have other governments, and for that matter, our own government, done about this since the passage of this law in late February, Angel?
Several international groups and countries have now removed all funding from Uganda. It's really outraged numerous countries. The United States has recently taken some action in that they have defunded certain government programs in Uganda, but they haven't acted as severely as other nations who just snatched, completely removed all funding from Uganda. You have to hit people in the pocketbook to get their attention. Yeah. You know, America has tried to play this way in that they don't want to take funding away from certain HIV groups or organizations that treat people with HIV. But the problem is, because of the way the law is written, people who would access HIV or AIDS clinics or hospitals or whoever is offering the treatment won't go. Because if you go to a clinic, go to a treatment center, it's automatically assumed that you're gay. But in Africa, that's not true, because 99% of people who are HIV positive are not gay. So even heterosexual people will not go for treatment.
That statement is backed up by the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, and they have said that this could actually increase AIDS cases and the spread of AIDS for that exact reason, that people, whether they're gay or not, are going to be afraid to be tested because they're afraid that they could be imprisoned or killed.
That's exactly right. And it's happening now.
Terribly, terribly frightening. Mm-hmm. Now, listeners, if you're tuning in late, you're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the Network for Social Justice. This is Miriam Raftery, and I'm interviewing Bishop Terry Angel Mason about an extremist new law in Uganda that imposes life in prison for gay people. It is a law that is impacting many people, including his own fiancée and children. I want to circle back to your own family for a little bit, Angel. Now, you have written to the U.S. State Department, to the Ugandan government, I understand. Are you making any progress in being able to get your fiancé and your children out of there?
The problem, one problem existed in Uganda, which makes it difficult. By the way, this is kind of a reoccurring theme throughout Africa. First of all, if you go to a county clerk's office, for example, to get a birth certificate or a marriage license or something in our country, we can do that. But in Africa, there's so much corruption on every single level of government that you go in. To simply get a passport is a little difficult. You can't, you gotta bribe people within that office to even get a passport, or they will purposely delay your getting it. In addition to the fact that normally if my fiance were coming from another country, say to the United States, he could come on a marriage visa. But a marriage visa is something that both countries have to cooperate in and with. And since Uganda does not believe in same-gender marriages, they won't cooperate. So I can't bring my fiance here on a marriage visa. I have to go another way, which would be a visiting visa, and that's a little difficult.
Now, if you were able to get a visiting visa and bring your fiancé here, can he then ask for asylum? Asylum is normally granted if someone is from a group that is being persecuted, if their life would be in danger if they were returned to their home country, which clearly would be the case here.
Right. America doesn't do that as much as the European countries. The European countries are all doing that. Now, what would happen in our particular case is when my fiancé gets here, I could get married.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I'm married, that changes everything.
I see. So then your fiancé would be able to stay.
He would be able to stay. I would, of course, have to go through the channels with our own immigration, but it is easy because I live in a state where gay marriage is legal. So that just getting him and my two children, if I can get them to America, then I will be okay.
Yeah.
But it's not easy because, as I stated, to get a visiting visa, when you visit from Africa to America, you have to tell the U.S. Embassy when they're coming back.
I see.
Do you follow me?
So in other words, you either have to lie, or if you tell the truth, then you might not get
exactly. They could decline my visa if I said he is not coming back with my children, but which, by the way, is what I did. I actually did that.
Wow.
And the reason, I mean, I actually told the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I did was partially because I helped President Barack Obama, and I know the campaign manager here.
So you have some connections.
I have some connections, and so I kind of use that to, I'm using that as leverage, although it's, even with those connections, I have to tell you, it's still a challenge, even with the connection, because the embassy has to rewrite the rules in terms of how Africans can get out of there, because they're trapped in, and they can't even travel to South Africa to a place where gay marriage is legal because it's so difficult to get passports to get to a safer place.
What can or should be done? Let's start with what our country should be doing.
What I think our country needs to do is they need to find activists in Uganda that are have organizations that works with the United Nations, because there are some, and that's where our funding needs to go. It needs to go to those organizations so they can assist these young people who are being thrown out of their houses, can't eat, who are being, to get them at least, if not to a European country, at least to South Africa, where their lives won't be in danger. I think if we can begin to write the State Department, and President Barack Obama does read his letters, mm-hmm. put pressure on him and say, listen, this money needs to go to, you know, I always tease my friends. I would say, I wish I was a rich Harriet Tubman. And I'm very serious about that, because I would create a means where if we couldn't get them to America or to Europe, at least to South Africa.
So a sort of underground railroad.
Exactly.
Like
I would create an underground railroad. I would do it too.
Wow. Well, what can listeners do? I'm sure a lot of them are sufficiently outreach. And I would imagine even many evangelicals, some of whom may not even support gay marriage. But even if you don't support gay marriage, even, you know, if you don't believe being gay is that you're born gay, even right. if you believe it's a choice. I don't think there's anyone among us who would say that a choice in, say, a religion, for example, should mean that you can be imprisoned forever, that you can be burned, that you can be killed for what you believe. So what can listeners do? Are there petitions or things people can sign, Angel?
Mm-hmm. Yes, there's numerous petitions on on the internet where they're placing pressure on the State Department, on the president. But I think, believe it or not, the best thing that people can do is to go to their churches. I know that sounds kind of crazy. So don't be afraid to stand up and say, listen, I know that we might not agree with marriage equality. But we can agree to the fact that children shouldn't be parentless because their parents were killed. I'm not talking about gay people. I'm talking about individuals even in Africa who are not gay, that are accused of being gay simply because of how ambiguous this law is and how unjust it is. So we're not just talking about same gender loving people. We're talking about anybody who can just... All I have to do is walk up and say, you're gay. That pastor is gay. This person is gay. This politician is gay. And then you're out of there.
Yeah. And you know, it's a little known fact that Nazi Germany started out rounding up gay people as well. And gypsies and other people. And eventually, of course, they became infamous for the death camps where 7 million Jewish people.
See where it can start with one thing murdered. And escalate to a whole another level.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely a genocide in the making. The whole world should be disturbed about this. And Angel, you've told us a little bit about the geopolitical complications of this. I understand that even Russia and China could be brought into this. Explain that.
Yes, the Ugandan government, parliament, because it has said to the United States and to the other European nations that if you cut funding off from us, then we're going to align ourselves with the Koreans, with China, and with Russia. Because, of course, they need to replace that money. That's the threat they sent to President Barack Obama and to other parliaments and other presidents and kings and queens in other nations. I don't know if they followed through with it since all of the UN and everyone is now removing funding from them, but that's exactly what they said they would do.
Very
it's amazing.
Very, very frightening.
It is.
So it seems to me this is something where people around the world need perhaps to stand up, to speak out, because as we've seen time and time again throughout history in our country and other countries, when the rights of one group of people are threatened, ultimately this can come back to threaten the rights of all of us.
That's exactly right. That's in my first book, exactly. And you expressed it perfectly. What the human mind doesn't understand, the human heart has not been able to really understand, is that when you marginalize, when you discriminate, when you suppress or oppress any people, it's going to knock on your door the next day. That's the way our Constitution is written.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, Angel, we're out of time for today, but I want to thank you so very much for coming on our show, the East County Magazine show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the Network for Social Justice, and sharing this very important information about truly one of the most frightening turn of events that we've seen happen in the world in this century.
Yes, it is. And I'm just glad that you allow me to share with you, Miriam, and the audience, because we really need to stand up and let our voices be heard. We do.
Well, thank you very much, Angel.
Oh, you're welcome, Miriam. It's a blessing. And thanks to our listening audience, because I know they're going to share with everyone they know. Thank you.